no mercy.
Welcome back to Undisputed. Well, the draft last night could not have ended better for Skip and Shannon. The Broncos were able to select Shannon's guy, Jerry Jeudy, with the 15th overall pick. And at 17, the Cowboys took Skip's guy, CeeDee Lamb. So, Skip, I want to ask you, who made the better pick, John Elway or Jerry Jones?
Before I answer, Jenny, quick aside, last night became very bittersweet in that I was so happy about CeeDee Lamb. And then a few minutes later, I was so sad to read that Dak Prescott, my quarterback of my Cowboys, had lost his older brother, Jace. So, Dak, we would like you to know we are thinking about you.
Very much so. That's such sad news, such a young man. They were very, very close, Skip, because remember a couple of years ago, Dak lost his mom. And so these brothers were very close. They do the commercials. Those are his brothers in the actual commercial, which tells you, and I think one of them handles his affairs. So it lets you know just how close they are. So I'm so, so sorry to hear that. My prayer thoughts and prayers go out to Dak and his family.
Now, back to Jenny's question, back to what seems less important, just football. My Dallas Cowboys last night managed to pull off the steal of the first round. I have never been more stunned and obviously never been happier about a Cowboy first round pick than this one because, as you know, Shannon, I fought you all year saying that CeeDee Lamb mm-hmm. was the best receiver in this draft, that he is a flat-out, straight-up number one receiver, an alpha, and I always viewed Jerry Jeudy as a little more of a luxury, more of a slot receiver, more of a number two receiver. And all of a sudden, because of fortuitous developments coming up the draft, what happened at number 12, then what happened at number 17 that I'll get to in just a minute, all of a sudden, the player ranked sixth on the Cowboy draft board, sixth, CeeDee Lamb, obviously the highest receiver on their board, fell to them in a scenario they had not even practiced. Stephen Jones said late last night, we ran every mock draft scenario we could think of to see how would we react to this and that and this and that. Not one time did they run a scenario by which CeeDee Lamb fell in their laps at 17. Again, CeeDee Lamb was really all that Jalen Hurts had last year at the University of Oklahoma, and I watched every snap because I'm a born and bred Sooner fan. And I got to tell you, Shannon, I was just in awe of what number two did for my Oklahoma Sooners because you just couldn't stop him. They didn't have Hollywood Brown. They didn't have their usual cavalcade of star receivers. It was CeeDee or bust. And even in the big game against Texas, it looked like he was triple covered and they could not contain or corral him. As I keep telling you, CeeDee is no lamb after the catch. He is a lion. He averaged 21.4 yards per catch. Let that sink in. 21.4 yards every time he caught and ran with the football, which led all of FBS in college football. He's a stud. He's a Pro Bowler. Again, Jerry Jones has done an underrated great job of drafting over the last decade because the Cowboys have had the second most Pro Bowlers to Kansas City over the last 10 years, and they just landed another one. I am so proud of Jerry Jones, who sat on his $250 million yacht last night and pulled the right trigger from afar, from a distance. How could you not? And I told you how much I loved Kalyvon Chaisson, who also fell in their laps there. And it's a pass rushing need that they had. But they had lost their slot receiver, Randall Cobb. And all of a sudden, they add a guy who can play in the slot. But I think CeeDee will quickly be better than Amari Cooper. I'm not an Amari fan as a quote-unquote road warrior because he disappears on the road. Disappeared at Jets, at Patriots, at Eagles. Now, I don't care about that. Yeah, you overpaid to keep him, $100 million. You've got CD as your emerging one, Amari as your two, Gallup as a co-number two, and we are good to go. Rise and shine. Cowboys are back in business. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm looking at this, and you said something very interesting. You guys have the second most Pro Bowl player selected in this decade and don't have an MVP, doesn't have a Super Bowl, doesn't even have a championship game appearance. But that's neither here nor there. Let me ask you this, Skip Bayless. If Jerry Jeudy falls in the Cowboys' lap, do you think they take him?
If CD's gone?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, because they had a glaring need for a slot receiver. And I told you on the show a couple days ago, if Jerry Jeudy's there, I'm good. I just didn't think CD would be there. CD is a whole cut above Jerry Jeudy. But I would have taken Jerry if he falls there because he would have been an upgrade over Randall Cobb.
But see, the difference is John Elway says, I got a choice. I can take Jerry Jeudy. I can take CD Lamb. See, you got the leftover, Skip. And so you ain't have no choice. It's not like you had a choice. We had a choice. John Elway says the number one receiver on our board is Jerry Jeudy. Winning program, the way he transitions in and out of breaks, tremendous run after the catch. And we need a slot receiver. And it is a position of need. A position of need. We're 28th in total offense. We have Cortland Sutton, second year, goes to the Pro Bowl. Noah Fant, who we took in the first round, up and coming star. So now we need a guy that we can put in the slot and pair with those guys. And our young quarterback. So I love this pick for the Broncos because I think Jerry Jeudy was the best receiver in the draft. And Skip, I tweeted early in the year, I thought he would be the first receiver off the board. For the simple fact, technically sound, fundamentally sound. He's an elite route runner. And I thought him being the Biletnikoff Award winner the previous year, Skip, but I didn't know the Raiders, but Raiders in love with speed, Skip. That's their M.O. And I know somewhere Al Davis is looking, smiling, like, yeah, John, you did me proud. You did me proud on this one because he loves speed. But, Skip, when you look at this, Skip, it's hard for me to see a scenario that – and I'm not saying, because I like CeeDee Lamb. I think CeeDee Lamb is a phenomenal player. I just think fundamentally, technically, Jeudy is a step better. And you always criticize, oh, he played with Tua, and he had Ruggs, and he had Waddle. Well, CeeDee Lamb just had the best offensive mind in football calling plays. Is that anything, Skip? A guy that had two Heisman Trophy winners the previous year, and the guy that finished second this year. But you never mentioned that. You never mentioned Lincoln Riley. I mean, that's something has to go with it. 2 years in a row, he had the best offensive line in football. You never mentioned that. What?
Yeah, wait. You've told me from the start, Jalen Hurts is throwing challenged, that you were fine with him being pushed out the back door in Alabama in favor of Tua because he can't throw like Tua. Well, that's all CeeDee had to work with last year was Jalen just sort of throwing it into his area code, and he would go up and snatch any and everything. As one scout was quoted in that Bob McGinn piece in The Athletic, he just catches the crap out of the football. You better believe he does and that he will. And I want to thank your former quarterback, John Elway, for opening the door for us to get CeeDee Lamb because he's going to change life in Dallas. And I don't think Jerry Jeudy will change life for John Elway. And John has been drafting challenged. I know Peyton knocked on his door and he said, oh, thank you. Yeah, we'll take you over Tim Tebow. And I give John this. Yeah. They did take Von Miller. I give him that. I didn't see Von Miller being that good. But after that, even all the way to Drew Lock, I'm still not sold on Drew Lock. So let's see how much Jerry Jeudy likes Drew Lock going into next year. That'll be interesting.
Well, Skip, but I get all that. But I think the thing is that when they needed a knee position, okay, we need a wide receiver. The number one wide receiver on our board is available. And I think that's how most teams, Skip, we have a draft board, a need, and it says, okay, if the guy that we want is there, we have no choice but to take him, even though there might be somebody. Skip, that was a need position for the Broncos. I don't believe that was a need position. I believe because I talked about this yesterday, Skip. You remember when they went to the Super Bowl, the Packers, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, Randall Cobb, Donald Driver was their receivers. And so now they kind of built that. Now, they didn't have the running game that what the Cowboys have with Zeke Elliott. I don't believe they have the offensive line that the Cowboys have. So they've strengthened a strength. The Cowboys was number one. I think they were number one in offense, or number two. They were no worse than number two. So they got stronger at a position they were already strong in. Go ahead, Skip.
No, they were one in yards, just flat out passing yards. They were number one. So go ahead.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So when I look at it, Skip, I think the thing is that was the guy you wanted with CeeDee Lamb. I got the guy that I wanted in Jerry Jeudy. So I'm not disappointed. I think Jeudy will be a tad bit better than CeeDee Lamb. But obviously, Skip, a lot of that has to do with, you know, the quarterback, the system that you go in. But I believe Jeudy will pick the system up. He'll be great. They love Drew Lock, Skip. They believe in Drew Lock. They believe that Drew Lock is the guy that they're going to build this offense around, and moving forward, he's going to be their guy. Obviously, we know what Dak has gotten better and better every single year. And so we'll see if Drew Lock can continue to get better and take the Broncos back to where they want to go.
Okay, I also need to thank John Gruden and Mike Mayock for making the reach and blunder of the night, taking Henry Ruggs III at number 12. Really, John? I love John Gruden, but really? Again, it's an Al Davis Memorial pick, because Henry Ruggs was the fastest man on the planet, so to speak, fastest man in the draft. They had Cliff Branch, 100-meter champion out of Colorado in the NCAAs. They had little James Jett, who was Jett of an Olympic sprinter. Yeah, they've had all that. That's been their tradition, their MO. But you can't take Henry Ruggs, who was maybe the fourth or fifth best receiver in this draft. Maybe not even that. I'm not even sure of that. You can't take him at 12, but you did open the door and grease the skids for CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy, for that matter, to start falling to 15 and 17. And then the classic pick for me was what happened at 16, one pick ahead of Dallas, when Thomas Dimitroff, Atlanta Falcons, I thought, uh-oh, are they going to strengthen their strength and take CeeDee along with Julio? Uh-oh. And they took A.J. Terrell, the corner out of Clemson, who was ranked 61st on Mel Kiper's draft board. Wait, it's dyslexia. You took him at 16 when Mel had him at 61. And what are you doing? If you watch the national championship game, you saw Joe Burrow just pick on A.J. Terrell all night. Where is he? He's there. I'll throw to that receiver. It was an embarrassment. Yeah. And you took that guy with the 16th overall pick, and you left CeeDee Lamb on the board. Thank you very much. And then thank you, Cowboys, for keeping CeeDee from those dreaded Eagles who were picking four spots later, who desperately needed a receiver and took a weird one. And Jalen Reagor, I have no idea where that came from, because there were five receivers on the board better than him. So it was a really great night for my Dallas Cowboys on the field.
And I believe Jerry Jeudy played against a little better competition. And can we stop this? And I know everybody, they show so much love to the SEC. The SEC is the preeminent, and it's not even close. With 15 first rounders out of 32 selections, Skip Bayless. Now, the record was 13, if I'm not mistaken, last year. And guess what? They followed up this year, 12. So they got three more. So let's go ahead and put that aside. And it's more than just Alabama, because you saw LSU, Skip, have five first rounders. Auburn had a couple of first rounders. Georgia had a couple of first rounders. South Carolina got one. And we know what Bama always going to have them. Bama going to probably have three or four next year. So can we just put this aside?
Yeah.
You know, Big 12, I mean, y'all got a couple of guys, but it's not even close.
Okay, but wait a second. I appreciate you applauding my conference, because remember, I went to school at Vanderbilt in the Southeastern Conference. And my school won the national championship in baseball last year. So we're good. We own the Southeastern Conference in baseball, so that works. So thank you for bringing that up. Appreciate that.
Skip, Vanderbilt University in basketball and in football, all y'all do is get those stimulus checks. Y'all ain't add nothing to the pot. Y'all just getting stimulus checks based on the backs of Bama, LSU, Georgia, Auburn. That's what you guys are doing, and you know it. Y'all taking that $50, $60 million and just putting it into your endowment and keeping other programs afloat because your football team and basketball teams are trash, and you know it.
Just for the record, though, guys, the top three picks were teammates at one point at Ohio State. So I got to give the Big Ten a little bit of love before you guys get going there. Yeah. I know you guys are happy about the draft, but how is Aaron Rodgers feeling after the Packers took a quarterback? Are they planning for the future without him? We'll go there next. No mercy. In a surprising move, the Packers traded up from the 30th to the 26th pick last night to select quarterback Jordan Love. It would appear Green Bay believes Love will be the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers, similar to how they drafted Rodgers in 2005, with Brett Favre still on the team. So, Skip, how concerned should Aaron Rodgers be at this point?
Aaron Rodgers, you are on the clock. Your clock is now tick, tick, ticking. The future in Green Bay is now Jordan Love. And the two keys that everyone needs to know about last night, number one, the Packers traded up from 30 to 26 to take Jordan Love. So obviously they had their eye on him all along. And number two, the GM, John Gutekunst, said late last night, he did not inform Aaron Rodgers that he had any notion of taking a quarterback, especially late in the first round. So he was operating completely autonomously in the best interest going forward of the franchise of the Green Bay Packers. And Shannon, this was a double slap in the face for Aaron because not only did they take their heir Jordan apparent in the first round, but they did not take any help for Aaron Rodgers next year in the way of a skill position player, right, running back, a receiver. And I'm going to guess that because they haven't taken a skill player in the first round since they took Aaron Rodgers way back when, that he's going to think, gee, am I getting sabotaged next year? Because I'm kind of hamstrung here. I'm going to have to play with my left hand tied behind my back. It's starting to feel like Davante Adams or bust next year as far as the receiving core goes. And all of a sudden, it looks like Jordan Love will probably be fast-tracked if he can live up to that sort of Patrick Mahomes potential over the next couple of years to be the next starting quarterback of the Packers, just the way Aaron was chosen with the 24th overall pick to replace a then 35-year-old Brett Favre. Aaron, now 36, going into his age 36 season, and his stats have been declining over the last 4 years. So I think management just said, Aaron, we just picked your replacement.
Yeah, Skip, he cannot be happy about this, Skip. It's kind of like, and what I like to do, I try to put things in the context, Skip. I was like, okay, let's just say you at your job, and you see this guy like, hey, man, hey, congratulations on the new gig. What do you do? Your job? How you gonna feel about that? Hold on. I didn't even know they were hiring. They told me they weren't gonna even hire, let alone my position. That's what Aaron Rodgers got. But what you're starting to see is that you're starting to see these teams tell their star quarterbacks or their star players less and less. Coach Belichick never told Tom Brady. I can assure you, I feel very comfortable in saying this. He never told Tom Brady what he was going to select. Be it quarterback, wide receiver, defensive lineman, that's not your job. You quarterback, I build the team. And by doing this, because Skip, it was reported, they didn't tell him about the coach they were hiring either. A far cry from where things used to be. You can see the direction that they're moving in. They're taking more and more power away from Aaron Rodgers, giving more and more power to the head coach, more and more power to the general manager. That's not a surprise. Skip, he's going to be very, very unhappy because he's looking at it like, hold on, wait a minute. We were one game away from the Super Bowl, and you don't bring me help? You bring somebody that's not going to help us at the bare minimum, not for 2 to 3 years? What sense does that make? Now, they do have Adams. But Skip, all the rest of the guys were like undrafted free agents or low draft picks. Lazard, Kumerow, Valdez, Scantling. He's like, you're not going to get me a tackle to replace what I lost in Brian Bulaga? We lost Jimmy Graham. Maybe they're going to get a tight end Skip in the second or third round. But he's like, what about the help right now? You talking about something 2-3 years from now. I'm talking about 2020, 2021. How does this guy, can he cover punts? Can he catch passes? Can he defend? You ain't got anybody that's going to help us win in the immediate future. You got somebody for the future down the road. I need something right now. Skip, I guarantee you Aaron Rodgers is seething. Now, he might come back and like, oh, everything's okay. You know, hey, they have to do what's in the best interest. But he said what was in the best interest of the team was to get someone that can help us win immediately and not someone that's projected to help us down the road. So he probably asked Danica. They probably were sitting there watching the draft. And when that pick, Green Bay Packers moved up, he's like, oh, man, we about to get us a receiver. Baby, got a little kiss from Danica. We about to get us a receiver. Yes, baby, we about to get us a receiver. And with the 26th pick in the 2020 draft, the Green Bay Packers select Jordan Love. Click, baby, go get that last bottle of scotch. That was it. Because he's seething. He's upset. Because Skip, in a situation like that, as a quarterback who's closer to the end than the beginning, he wants, because look at what Tampa's doing, Skip. They're going out. Gronk. Bring in Gronk. Okay, you need a tackle to protect. They're doing all they possibly can to help Tom Brady win right now. They didn't go get a quarterback for 2 years. If Tampa got a quarterback, you're like, okay, Tom did only sign a 2-year deal. But Aaron Rodgers is under contract for 4 more years. Tampa said, we're trying to help you win right now. You look at the Saints. They didn't get a quarterback, Skip. They drafted a center. We tried to help Drew Brees win right now. You look at Skip, Patrick Mahomes. They got a running back. We tried to win right now. We ain't trying to get somebody down the road right now. And, yeah, Skip, I want to see, can somebody get a camera? When Aaron Rodgers see the head coach and the general manager for the first time when they open, when this virus is under control and they start having camp, I want a camera on Aaron Rodgers. That's who should do Hard Knocks. The Green Bay Packers. Nope, forget the Rams, Skip. Forget the Chargers. Forget the Rams. Green Bay Packers should do Hard Knocks because I want to see that camera on Aaron Rodgers at all times.
Yeah, last night I envisioned Aaron having that classic sitcom reaction when somebody in a sitcom hears something or sees something shocking and they have a mouthful of liquid and they just spit it all over everywhere. That's what I think Aaron did, except he was spitting out scotch last night. Spat, just scotch went everywhere when they traded up. And again, I'm going to point out that somebody was sitting just ahead of them, and I'm sure that's what Green Bay was waiting for. Would Bill Belichick be sitting on Jordan Love at 23? And instead, Belichick just waved the white flag and said, no, I'm out of here. I'm going to trade out of the first round. I'm going to hoard more picks in the later rounds because he's got a bunch of them. I don't need Jordan Love. It appears he's onward and upward with Stid, as he calls him, Jared Stidham, his fourth round pick of a couple of years ago. And Belichick's going to try to do it with a bunch of no-name cogs that he will draft in later rounds. So that sent a message, but the message it sent to Green Bay was, really? You don't want Jordan Love? We love Jordan Love. We're going to go up and snatch him right there at number 26, and they did.
Yeah, Skip, you know, Aaron, he drank that good stuff. He's probably drinking that Macallan's or that Johnny Walker or that Dewar's. I'm talking about that single malt, that 25-year, that $2,000 good stuff. Mm-hmm. Messed up that, because Skip, you know he just brought that big old place up in Malibu, $29 million, played cash for it too. He probably cleaning up right now, all the liquor on the floor. He said, I can't believe the Packers did this to me. You no good.
Well, Shannon, I think the Packers are thinking, what have you done for us lately, Aaron? Because it's been 10 years since you got us to and you won your one and only Super Bowl. That's a decade too long. They're saying, we got to go in a new direction here.
Skip, didn't he see just 3 years ago how it was playing out in New England? how Tom Brady had gotten the job and they were looking to replace Tom, and Tom was in the midst of going to the Super Bowl? Didn't he see how that play out? Does he remember how he got the job? That, it normally comes around full circle. It normally does. That's normally how it happens.
Yep.
I wish you was something I could tell him.
No mercy.
The injury history of Tua Tagovailoa didn't concern the Dolphins, who selected him fifth overall last night in the NFL draft. And Miami doubled down in their faith in Tua by drafting an offensive lineman with the 18th overall pick to protect their rookie QB. So, Skip, in your opinion, should Tua start week one for the Dolphins?
Well, absolutely. The Hall of Famer Shannon Sharpe has been telling me for the last month, no problem with the injuries. Shannon, the Hall of Famer, says he has absolutely no concern about the many injuries Tua suffered as a college player at Alabama. Shannon Sharpe has told me from the start, Tua is better than Joe Burrow, and that Shannon would have taken Tua first overall over Joe Burrow. I'm going to believe what ESPN reported, that the Dolphins tried everything possible with their king's ransom of draft picks, three firsts and 14 picks overall, to make a godfather kind of offer, an offer that Cincinnati couldn't have refused, to go up to get Joe Burrow. I believe they also believe that Joe Burrow, as I do, is better than Tua and will be better and obviously more trustable on durability than Tua. But I think Miami felt stuck at five because Tua is definitely better than Justin Herbert. And there was the specter hanging over this franchise, thanks to Ain't Nick Saban, that when he was the Dolphins coach, he passed on Drew Brees because Drew Brees had had shoulder surgery, and the rest is NFL history in New Orleans. So I think, again, ESPN also reported that the Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, got involved yesterday and said, we have to take Tua. Again, he's high risk, but could be high reward. He's box office. He could be something very special if he can stay upright. And yet the old bromide is hurt in college, hurt in the pros. But my point is, if you plunged, if you believed all of the medicals that you heard from independent doctors, one saying that he took MRIs of that surgically repaired hip, and that it was a, this is what I heard, pristine MRI, perfect. Start him, play him, throw him into the fire. Don't tell me we have to be careful because, no, you took him with the fifth overall. That's a lot of investment, so go with it. Don't be careful. Don't walk on eggshells because you think he might be made of eggshells. I do think he is made of eggshells. I do think he's injury prone. I think because of all of his injuries, he did get a little flinchy in the pocket, a little antsy, a little quick on the trigger, just a little jittery because he's been hurt so many times. That's what concerns me. But why would you put him in mothballs when you spent the fifth pick on him? Start him, Shannon. Put your money where your mouth is. You told me he's 1,000% okay, and he's better than Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow will start from the start. That's what you do with high-pick quarterbacks. So don't give me any phony baloney about, you got to protect him for a little. It's not a game in which you protect anybody.
So let me ask you a question. Is Andy Dalton going to be on the roster? Is Andy Dalton going to be on the roster in Cincinnati? Simple no or simple yes? No, you know he's not. Because here's the thing, Skip Bayless. You want to make it about the first year. But they didn't select this guy to play 1 year. They selected him for 10 years. So it's not about the first year. It's about 10 years. That's what it's about. And so I get it all that. Well, play him, play him, play him. I just gave you three guys that didn't play and all went on and won the MVP. And you didn't have a problem with that. But now, if Tua doesn't play, you got a problem with that. Patrick Mahomes did not start his rookie year. He won the MVP and the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson did not start his rookie season. But he came in, I think, about seven games into the season. But what did he do? A unanimous MVP. So we've seen situations where guys do not start that were first round draft picks that play either they play later in the season or they do not play until the following season. And it turns out very well. This is not a 1 year plan. This is a 10 year plan. They put him, they kept Ryan Fitzpatrick for a reason. Whomever they selected, I believe, was not going to start. If Joe Burrow, if Joe Burrow had gone to the what you call, I do not believe he was going to start day one. Not with Ryan Fitzpatrick on the roster. You know that, I know that. So now all of a sudden, Skip Bayless wanted to like, well, start him. If you would have just started, just throw him to the wolves. Look, there have been situations for every Peyton Manning and for every Andrew Luck, there have been situations where Big Ben didn't start, Eli Manning didn't start. Why, Skip? Why not just throw him to the wolves? Why? Eli was number one overall. Why didn't he start week one, Skip? Ben Roethlisberger was a top pick. Why didn't he start, Skip? I just need to know why. Why? And they had no injuries. Why?
Peyton? How about Peyton Manning? Didn't he get thrown into the fire? Right?
Okay, Peyton. Yeah, Andrew Luck.
RG3.
And then
Andrew Luck.
Skip, hold on. Stop it. Skip. First of all, you and I both know, had Tony Romo not gotten hurt, Dak Prescott was not going to start. He did not beat Tony Romo out for the job, Skip. Tony Romo got hurt. He played so well, they couldn't put Tony Romo back in. Skip, I mean, if you're going to tell the story, tell the whole story. Okay, Peyton Manning, yeah. Andrew Luck started day one. Carson Palmer did not. Eli Manning did not. Mahomes did not. There are some other guys.
Kyler.
Lamar Jackson
Kyler
did
Murray,
not.
You remember him? Yeah.
Yeah, what did they do, Skip? What did they do? Did they clear the decks for him? Yes or no? Yes, they did. Did Ben Roethlisberger start?
Are you telling me?
Did Aaron Rodgers start?
I thought he did start. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers couldn't start because he was.
Okay, why?
Aaron Rodgers was too raw. His delivery was so long and so awful under Jeff Tedford, they had to completely rebuild it. And they did get three pretty good years out of Brett Favre after that. So he had a top five quarterback ahead of him. And Patrick Mahomes was so raw coming out of Texas Tech that one of the few times I couldn't see a quarterback projecting to be an MVP and a Super Bowl winner like Patrick Mahomes was. I don't think Andy Reid did either, to tell you the truth. And he had Alex Smith, who had taken him to the playoffs the year before. So here we went, and yeah, he sat for a year because he had a lot to learn. He played in this air raid Kingsbury offense at Texas Tech, hadn't played in many big games at all, didn't play in big bowl games where there was no playoff games, national championship type games, no big stage games for Patrick Mahomes. Okay, I get that, although if Andy looks back now, he probably thinks, gee, I probably should have started him earlier and maybe we could have sped his growth up a little bit. And all I know, Shannon, is you are starting to sound like you're flinching a little bit, that you're getting a little antsy in the pocket because you're not sure that Tua can stay healthy. That's your problem.
Skip, think about what Skip, you just said, Andy Reid looking back wishes he could have started Patrick Mahomes and sped the growth up. The man is an MVP, threw for 5,000, 50 touchdowns in his second year, and take him to the Super Bowl. And you said Andy Reid is regretting not starting him because he could have sped his growth up.
Yeah.
Skip, you need to, this is ridiculous.
No, it's not
a 10-year plan.
After what you've seen him you don't think he could have done it? Yeah, you jumped all over that bandwagon. You started driving it. I didn't hear out of you when Patrick Mahomes was at Texas Tech before the draft. I didn't hear a word.
No.
But all of a sudden, Shannon says, he's my homeboy. After you started seeing him play at a high level.
No. I watched one game, and when he threw for over 700 yards against Oklahoma, I'm like, well, they don't play any defense. Baker Mayfield had 500. So, yeah, they did. Oh, so now if you have an outstanding performance and a loss, it matters? Because I know a guy had 63 and they lost. I know a guy threw for 505 and they lost. And you've been heaping praise on them ever since. That's neither here nor there. All I'm saying is that they have a guy on the roster. This is a 10-year, 12-year plan, not a first year to so Skip Bayless. Well, if you believe so much in him, if the Cowboys believe so much in Dak, they'd give him $40 million. But they don't. Okay, so guess what we have on our side? We have time. Time, Skip Bayless.
Okay.
Time.
Okay, what did I hear about Kyler Murray? He's too little. He won't be able to take the pounding if he takes off and runs in the National Football League. Nope, I said, I watched him for one big year in college, not one time take a shot where I thought, ooh, that could be career threatening. Nope, he's put together and he knows how to protect himself, and he started all 16 games last year and did just fine as a pint-sized quarterback in the National Football League. And watch the leap he makes in year two now that he has DeAndre Hopkins to help make him look even better than he did last year. It's just, if you're that guy, you're that guy. You say two is that guy, let's see it. I want to see it now.
We will. You will. Just like Andy Reid believed my homeboy was that guy, and you had to wait a year to see it. So don't worry about it. So we got so we might get delayed a little bit, but you're going to see it. You're going to see it.
Somebody's scared. No mercy.